Well, Mary Beale just joined us. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
Well,
we're gonna pick up.
How's Mary back?
She's doing pretty well. She feels a lot better today than she has been feeling, and so that's a good deal.
Good.
So she feels much better. Yeah, she had a lot.
That's great.
She had much worse symptoms than I did, I think.
Yeah.
So we're going to pick up with, I think, chapter 3. And up until now, what we've been just looking at is just who these people are. Just Tobit and Tobias and his wife Anna. And, you know, just how they live and where they are and stuff like that. And now we're going to get into the prayers that Tobit prays and then Susanna also prays. And they're in two different places, but God hears, and they're praying at the same time, and God hears both their prayers and then sends the angel Raphael to help them. So we'll begin with chapter 3. Bob and Diana signing on. So in chapter 3, it said, Tobit's prayer in Nineveh. Hi, Bob and Diane. They just signed on for us. Hi there. So Tobit's prayer in Nineveh. It says, then in my... So Tobit's full of grief right now. You know, he's had all his problems. He laid down by the side of the wall and a bird pooped in his eyes, and he's got these things on his eyes that he, it's like cataracts and all. And so he's having all kinds of problems. And so he says, then in my grief I wept and I prayed in anguish, saying, righteous art thou, O Lord. All thy deeds and all thy ways are mercy and truth. So he's acknowledging that, you know, God is mercy and truth. And thou dost render true and righteous judgment forever. Remember me and look favorably upon me. Do not punish me for my sins and for my unwitting offenses and those which my fathers committed before thee. For they just disobeyed thy commandments. So he's kind of laying out why God should answer his prayer. He's saying, I got all these problems. I know you're a good guy. You got to help me. My ancestors disobeyed your commandments for a long time, and they because of that you had us go into captivity. But I've always been faithful to you, so please answer my prayer. And that's basically the theme of his prayer here. And so he says, and now deal with me according to thy pleasure. Command my spirit to be taken up, that I may depart and become dust. So he's saying, if you want to, go ahead and kill me and take me up into heaven where you are. And, you know, I accept that. He says, for it's better for me to die than to live, because I have heard false reproaches and great is the sorrow within me. Command that I now be released from my distress to go to the eternal abode. Do not turn thy face away from me. So the only thing he's praying for is that God lets him die and takes him up to the eternal abode. And then Sarah, not Susanna, Sarah. So Sarah, on the very same day, and she's over in Medea, she's also praying because she had seven guys come by. She married all seven of them, and all seven of them died. And so she feels cursed. Her maidservants are laughing at her. So she feels like she's been really, had a bad time. And so she's praying too. And so it says, on the same day in Medea, it also happened that Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, was reproached by her father's maids because she had been given to seven husbands, and the evil demon Asmodeus had slain each of them before he had been with his wife, been with her as his wife. And so they never had a chance to consummate the marriage at all. And this is one of the few places in Scripture where a devil other than Satan is actually named. And his name is Asmodeus. That's very unusual that they actually name the other devils, but they do in this particular case. And so he keeps killing her husbands. And there's some suggestion later on that maybe God was allowing this because these guys were not part of her family. If you remember, Tobit tells Tobias to find a wife that is part of their family. He's very big on, you know, staying within their tribe for marriage. And so she's sitting here praying to please, you know, get some relief here, because she's dealing with these maids that are laughing at her. This Asmodeus killed her husbands, and they said, "Do you not know that you?" So the maids told her, "Do you not know that you strangle your husbands? You already have had seven and have had no benefit from any of them. Why do you beat us? If they are dead, go with them. May we never see a son or daughter of yours." So they're really down on her, and she's feeling pretty bad about the whole thing. So when she heard these things, she was deeply grieved, even to the thought of hanging herself. She was considering suicide. But she said, "I am the only child of my father. If I do this, it will be a disgrace to him, and I shall bring his old age down in sorrow to the grave." So then she does her prayer. And this is going on at the same time that Tobit's doing his prayer. So she prayed by her window and said, "Blessed art thou, O Lord my God, and blessed is thy holy and honored name forever. May all thy works praise thee forever. And now, O Lord, I have turned my eyes and my face toward thee. Command that I be released from the earth and that I hear reproach no more." And she goes on. She's basically asking God to kill her. So both of them are asking for the same thing. Please take our lives and let us move on to the next world. And so the prayer of Tobit and Sarah has been heard. The prayer of both was heard in the presence of the glory of the great God, and Raphael was sent to heal the two of them, to scale away the white films of Tobit's eyes, to give Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, in marriage to Tobias, the son of Tobit, and to bind Asmodeus, the evil demon, because Tobias was entitled to possess her. He's entitled because he's in the same family. And that's what Tobit was, you know, talking to Tobias about. He wants somebody within their own Jewish tribe to marry Tobias. And so God sends Raphael down to solve all these problems. Just as one angel is going to solve all these problems. So at that very moment, Tobit returned and entered his house, and Sarah, the daughter of Raguel, came down from her upper room. So then we have Tobit's journey to Medea, accompanied by the archangel Raphael. So on that day, Tobit remembered the money which he had left in trust with Gabael at Rages in Medea. So he was a fairly wealthy guy, and when he was in Medea, he had given some money to this relative of his to invest for him. And it was kind of like, it's kind of like in Ben-Hur. He had that friend that was his steward. He was investing all of his money for him and gaining, you know, wealth and everything. Let me get a little drink here. So this is what he's trying to do. He's going to send his son to get the money. And what he doesn't know is that while he's sending his son to get the money, Rafi is also going to find him a wife, find Tobias a wife. So Tobit remembered the money which he had invested with his relative, and he said to himself, I have asked for death, but why do I not call my son Tobias so that I may explain to him about the money before I die? So he called him and told him about it. He said, my son, when I die, bury me and do not neglect your mother. He's really big on burying people when they die. For some reason, that's a real big thing for him. I guess it's more of a Jewish custom, because apparently people around there didn't bother. They just kill somebody and leave them on the side of the road. They don't bother burying anybody. He says, don't neglect your mother. Honor her all the days of your life. Do what is pleasing to her and do not grieve her. Remember, my son, that she faced many dangers for you while you were yet unborn. When she dies, bury her beside me in the same grave. So he wants he and his wife to be together in death as they were in life. He says, remember the Lord our God all your days, my son, and refuse to sin or to transgress his commandments. And so he goes on and tells him all the things that he should do as far as living a right life. Do what is true. If you do what is true, your ways will prosper. Give alms to the people who need it. Do not let your eye begrudge the gift when you make it. Do not turn your face away from any poor man. He's kind of reading the Jewish law to his son because he thinks he's about to die. And it's kind of like what Moses did in Deuteronomy at the end of their journey when they were ready to go into Jericho. He called all the Israelites together, read them the entire law, and then he went off and died. And it's kind of like what Tobit's doing here. He's kind of reading to his son all the rules of life that he should follow if he's going to be a good child of God. So he goes through all these things that, if you have a lot of possessions, make your gift from them in proportion. Give to the poor, all this kind of stuff. A lot of stuff from the Beatitudes. And so we have these things. And he says, for charity delivers from death and keeps you from entering the darkness. And for all who practice it, charity is an excellent offering in the presence of the Most High. So there are certain things that Tobit is really big on. Being charitable is one. Burying the dead is another. He's very, very big on those two things in particular. And then he said, beware, my son, of all immorality. First of all, take a wife from among the descendants of your fathers and do not marry a foreign woman who is not of your father's tribe. For we are the sons of the prophets. Remember, my son, that Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers of old, all took wives from among their brethren. They were blessed in their children, and they and their posterity will inherit the land. Their posterity will inherit the land. You remember the promise that God made to Abraham when Abraham went up to sacrifice Isaac on the mountain. And Abraham, went through the motions. He was going to sacrifice him. And the angel came down and stopped him, and he had a ram caught in the bushes instead. And God said, because of your obedience, through you all the nations of the world shall be blessed. And so that's what he's talking about here, that through the descendants of Abraham, all the nations in the world will be blessed. And so that's what he's saying. You have to be part of that group that is going to be the source of the blessing for all nations. So Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our fathers, all took wives from among their brethren. They were blessed in their children, and their posterity will inherit the land. So now, my son, love your your brethren, and in your heart do not disdain your brethren and the sons and daughters of your people by refusing to take a wife for yourself from among them. So, gotta find the right wife. And it says, when you hire somebody for work, do not hold over till the next day the wages of any man who works for you, but pay him at once, and if you serve God, you will receive payment. So, do all the right things, you know. It says, watch yourself, my son, in everything you do, and be disciplined in all your conduct. And what you hate, do not do to anyone else. And that's a good rule, you know. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. Do not drink wine to excess, or let drunkenness go with you on the way. Give of your bread to the hungry, and of your charity, of clothing to the naked. Give all your surplus to charity, and do not let your eye begrudge the gift when you make it. Place your bread on the grave of the righteous. And they have a note here about that, where they said that they don't know where that comes from, but said it must have been a local custom of the people at the time to place bread on the grave of the righteous people. But it's not a part of the regular Mosaic law or anything. He said, but give none to sinners. So if somebody was a sinner, and you know that, then you don't put the bread on their grave. You just put it on the grave of the righteous. Seek advice from every wise man and do not despise any useful counsel. Bless the Lord God on every occasion. Ask him that your ways may be made straight and that all your paths and plans may prosper. In other words, rely on God to be your help and guide throughout your life. None of the nations has understanding, but the Lord himself gives all good things. And according to his will, he humbles whomever he wishes. So, my son, remember my commands and do not let them be blotted out of your mind. And now let me explain to you about the 10 talents of silver, which I left in trust with Gabbabel, the son of Gabrias, at Reges in Medea. Talents. A talent is not a coin. A talent is a measure of weight. And one talent is very heavy. If you look it up on Google, you'll find that a talent of gold is quite heavy and would be worth quite a bit of money. And you saw an example of this in the movie Ben-Hur, when the Arab guy came to challenge the Roman to the race, the chariot race, and he wagered 10 talents of gold, and the Roman kind of gulped, and he said, 10 talents, because he knows that's a huge amount of money, but he felt honor-bound to agree to that, so he did, but it's a measure of weight, and so he gave his relative 10 talents of silver in trust for him to invest for him. And so he's telling Tobias doesn't know about that. So he's telling him about this. He says, you have great wealth if you fear God and refrain from every sin and do what is pleasing in his sight. So he's telling him, I'm going to send you to get this money. It's a lot of money. You have great wealth, but in order to use it properly, you got to be a good child of God. So you got to live righteously. So then Tobias meets the archangel Raphael. So Tobias answered him, Father, I will do everything that you have commanded me, but how can I obtain the money when I don't know the man? Then Toba gave him the receipt and said to him, find a man to go with you, and I will pay him wages as long as I live, and go and get the money. So he went to look for a man, and he found Raphael, who was an angel. Now, he's telling this story. The narrator is telling this story, and the narrator knows that Raphael is an angel. He says so. But neither Tobias nor Tobit know that Raphael's an angel. So this point of view in telling this story, you know, it's kind of interesting. It started off, if you remember, where it was first person, where he says, I, Tobit, blah, blah, blah. And then it switches to a narrative kind of view. It's like somebody standing above, looking down at all this, talking about what's going on. So the narrator, oops, somebody must be coming through the door. All the dogs are barking. So the narrator says that he found Raphael, who was an angel, but Tobias did not know it. So Tobias said, can you go with me to Medea? Are you acquainted with that person? He tells him who this person is that he's looking for. And he tells him, and he says, yes, I will go. And so the angel replied, I will go with you. I am familiar with the way, and I have stayed with our brother Gabbabel. Then Tobias said to him, wait for me, and I shall tell my father. And so he goes back to Tobit and says, and he said to him, go and do not delay. So he told Tobit about it. He says, I have found someone to go with me. And Tobit says, call him to me so that I may learn to what tribe he belongs and whether he is a reliable man to go with you. So Tobit is concerned about whether even this guide belongs to their tribe. So he's very concerned about those things. He wants somebody they can really trust to lead Tobias on this journey. So Tobias invited him in. They greeted each other, and Tobit said to him, my brother, to what tribe and family do you belong? Tell me. But he answered, are you looking for a tribe and a family, or for a man whom you will pay to go with your son? And Tobit said to him, I should like to know, my brother, your people and your name. He replied, I am Azarias, the son of the great Ananias, one of your relatives. Then Tobit said to him, you are welcome, my brother. Do not be angry with me because I tried to learn your tribe and family. You're a relative of mine of a good and noble lineage, for I used to know Ananias and Jathan, the sons of the great Shemaiah, when we went together to Jerusalem to worship and offer the firstborn of our flocks and the tithes of our produce. They did not go astray in the error of our brethren. My brother, you come of good stock. But tell me, what wages am I to pay you? A drachma a day, and expenses for yourself as for my son. And besides, I will add to your wages if you both return safe and sound. So they agreed to these terms. So he was getting paid the same amount as his son. Tobit was giving Raphael the same wage he was given Tobias, which was kind of unusual. Then he said to Tobias, get ready for the journey. Good success to you both. So they made preparations. And his father said, go with this man. God who dwells in the heavens will prosper your way, and may his angel attend you. So they both went out and departed, and the young man's dog was with them. He mentions this dog being with them on this journey, but the dog never does anything. I don't know why they added the dog to this story. Usually when an author is going to put something like that in a story, it's there for a purpose. But there's no apparent purpose for this dog being there. And Tobit tells Tobias, may the angel be with you, without realizing that he's got an actual angel with him, in the angel Raphael. But Anna, his mother, began to weep and said to Tobit, why have you sent our child away? Is he not the staff of our hands as he goes in and out before us? Do not add money to money, but consider it as rubbish as compared to our child. So she's all worried about him going on this journey. She thinks he's going to be, you know, attacked by robbers and all this kind of stuff. But Tobit said to her, do not worry, my sister. And it's interesting, he talks to her, calls her his sister, not his wife. He says, do not worry, my sister. He will return safe and sound, and your eyes will see him. For a good angel will go with him. His journey will be successful, and he will come back safe and sound. So she stopped weeping. So Tobias sets out for Medea, and they come into a stream, and actually the Tigris River. So now they proceed on their way. They came that evening to the Tigris River and camped there. Then the young man went down to wash himself. It's just starting to sound kind of like Jonah. He went down to wash himself, and a fish leaped up from the river and would have swallowed the young man. And the angel said to him, "Catch the fish." So the young man seized the fish and threw it up on the land. Then the angel said to him, "Cut open the fish and take the heart and the liver and gall and put them away safely." So he did as the angel told him, and they roasted and ate the fish. So they kept these other three things aside that Raphael is going to have use for later on. And they both continued on their way until they came to near to Ecbatana. Then the young man said to the angel, "Brother Azarias, of what use is the liver and heart and gall of the fish?" He replied, "As for the heart and liver, if a demon or evil spirit gives trouble to anyone, you make a smoke from these before the man or woman, and that person will never be troubled again. And as for the gall, anoint it with a man who has white films in his eyes, and he will be cured." So he's telling Tobias the ways that he's going to use these portions of this fish. So they arrive in Medea. The angel said to the young man, "Brother, today we shall stay with Raguel. He is your relative, and he has an only daughter named Sarah. I will suggest that she be given to you in marriage, because you are entitled to her and to her inheritance, for you and her only, you are her only eligible kinsman." So the angel already knows, you know, about Sarah and her plight, and so he's setting it up so that Tobias can marry her. So the angel tells Tobias, "The girl is also beautiful and sensible. Now listen to my plan. I will speak to her father, and as soon as we return from Raguel's, we will celebrate the marriage, for I know that Raguel, according to the law of Moses, cannot give her to another man without incurring the penalty of death, because you, rather than any other man, are entitled to the inheritance." These were all part of the laws of Moses. Then the young man said to the angel, "Brother Azarias, I have heard that the girl has been given to seven husbands, and that each died in the bridal chamber. I don't know how Tobias knew that." He says, "I have heard that the girl has been given to seven husbands, and that each died in the bridal chamber. Now I am the only son of my father, and I am afraid that if I go in, I will die as those before me did, for a demon is in love with her, and he harms no one except those who approach her." So he thinks this demon's in love with Sarah, and that's why he's killing all these guys to try to marry her. He doesn't understand that a demon cannot love, doesn't love anybody, not even himself, because once you're condemned to hell, you lose all possibility of love in your life. So he says, "Now I fear that I may die and bring the lives of my father and mother to the grave in sorrow on my account, and they have no other son to bury them." But the angel said to him, "Do you not remember the words with which your father commanded you to take a wife from among your own people? Now listen to me, brother, for she will become your wife. And do not worry about the demon, for this very night she will be given to you in marriage. When you enter the bridal chamber, you shall take the live ashes of incense and lay upon them some of the heart and liver of the fish, so as to make a smoke. Then the demon will smell it and flee away and will never again return. And when you approach her, rise up, both of you, and cry out to the merciful God, and he will save you and have mercy on you. Do not be afraid, for she was destined for you from eternity. So again, we're looking at the idea of the providence of God, the eternal providence of God acting in the lives of his creatures, his people. So he said, do not be afraid. She was destined for you from eternity. You will save her, and she will go with you, and I suppose that you will have children by her. When Tobias heard these things, he fell in love with her and yearned deeply for her, even though he had not even seen her yet. So he fell in love with her without ever having seen her. Again, it's an act of the grace of God working between these two people to accomplish the purpose of God in their lives. So let's stop for just 1 second here and look at something. So we have this story of this girl. This is the only place in all of Scripture that I'm aware of where you have a story about a woman having seven husbands, all of whom die. And so if we go to the Gospel of Matthew, we have a story in Matthew 22, verse 23 through 28. And it says, the same day Sadducees came to him, to Jesus, who say that the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, remember? So the same day Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, which of the seven will she be wife? For they all had her. So they're talking about a woman, you know, that's married to seven different guys, and all the husbands died. But Jesus answered them, you are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So Scott Hahn says, this is a reference to the story in Tobit of Sarah and her seven husbands. These Sadducees are making up this story based on a story in Tobit. And Jesus says, you're wrong. You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus is calling the story of Tobit scripture. So if Jesus refers to the book of Tobit as scripture, and that's what we did in our Bible when we did the canon of scripture, we included Tobit as part of scripture, why would the other churches not include a book of scripture that Jesus calls scripture? You know, it really doesn't make any sense when you think about it. What do you guys think? Does that make sense? Yeah. So Sarah's hand is sought in marriage. When they reached Ecbatana and arrived at the house of Raguel, Sarah met them and greeted them. They returned her greeting, and she brought them into the house. So she actually met them at the door, not the maid or the parents or anything. She herself met them at the door. Then Raguel said to his wife, Edna, how much the young man resembles my cousin Tobit. He uses the word cousin here. The fact that they use the word cousin here is is interesting because there was no word for cousin in Aramaic or Hebrew. So that it was written in Greek, and there is a word for cousin in Greek. And so that's why they refer to each other as brother and sister all the time. We've talked about that before. And Alan just joined us from the Philippines. Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Hello. Pretty good. Pretty good. Sorry I'm late.
That's okay. You survived the hurricane. That's a good thing. Okay, we're just beginning to get into chapter 7 of Tobit. We just started that. So if you want to get there and catch up with us. So,
alrighty.
So Raguel said to his wife, Edna, how much the young man resembles my cousin Tobit. And Raguel asked them, where are you from, brethren? And they answered him, he said, we belong to the sons of Naphtali, who are captives of Nineveh. So he said to them, do you know our brother Tobit? And they said, yes, we do. And he asked him, is he in good health? They said, he's alive and in good health. And Tobias said, he is my father. Then Raguel sprang up and kissed him and wept, and he blessed him and exclaimed, son of that good and noble man. When he heard that Tobit had lost his sight, he was stricken with grief and wept, and his wife Edna and his daughter Sarah also wept, because they loved Tobit as well. They received them very warmly, and they killed a ram from the flock and set a large serving of food before them. Then Tobias said to Raphael, brother Azariah, speak of those things which you talked about on the journey, and let the matter be settled. So he commanded the proposal to Raguel, and Raguel said to Tobias, eat, drink, and be merry. That's where that phrase comes from, from the book of Tobit. Eat, drink, and be merry, for it is your right to take my child, but let me explain the true situation to you. So now he's going to tell Tobias about the seven husbands. He says, I have given my daughter to seven husbands, and when each came to her, he died in the night. But for the present, be merry. And Tobias said, I will eat nothing here until you make a binding agreement with me. So he said, take her right now in accordance with the law. You are her relative, and she is yours. The merciful God will guide you both for the best. Then he called his daughter Sarah, and taking her by the hand, he gave her to Tobias to be his wife, saying, here she is. Take her according to the law of Moses, and take her with you to your father. And he blessed them. Next he called his wife Edna, and took a scroll and wrote out the contract, and they set their seals to it. Then they began to eat. And Raguel called his wife Edna and said, sister, make up the other room and take her into it. So she did as he said, and took her there. And the girl began to weep. So the mother took the girl to the bridal chamber, and Sarah began to weep because she was afraid the same thing was going to happen to Tobias that happened to the other seven guys. She began to weep, but the mother comforted her and said to her, be brave, my child. The Lord of heaven and earth grant you joy in place of the sorrow of your earth. Be brave, my daughter. So Tobias and Sarah's wedding night, when they had finally finished eating, they escorted Tobias into her. And as he went, he remembered the words of Raphael, and he took the live ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we do it a little later?
Well, I can, but I'd like to get to it as soon as possible.
Yeah.
You want me to print it out, or we go through it on the screen?
Okay. So when they finished eating, they took him into her. He went and got the ashes of incense and put the heart and liver of the fish on them and made a smoke. And when the demons smelled the odor, he fled to the remotest parts of Egypt. And the angel bound him. When the door was shut and the two were alone, Tobias got up from the bed and said, "Sister, get up and let us pray that the Lord may have mercy upon us." And Tobias began to pray. And he goes through this prayer. It's a pretty interesting prayer. It says, "Blessed art thou, O God of our fathers, and blessed be thy holy and glorious name forever. Let the heavens and all the creatures bless thee. Thou madest Adam and gave him Eve, his wife, as a helper and support. From them the race of mankind has sprung. Thou dost say, it is not good that the man should be alone. Let us make a helper for him like himself. And now, O Lord, I am not taking this sister of mine because of lust, but with sincerity. Grant that I may find mercy and may grow old together with her." And she said with him, "Amen." Then they both went to sleep for the night. When Raguel rose and went to dig a grave, he thought he was going to get killed. So he goes outside and starts digging a grave for Tobias, just in case, to get ready. So he went and dug a grave with the thought, perhaps he too will die. Then Raguel went into the house and said to his wife, "Edna, send one of the maids to see whether he is alive. And if he is not, let us bury him without anyone knowing about it." So the maid opened the door and went in and found them both asleep. And she came out and told them that he was alive. Then Raguel blessed God and said, "Blessed art thou, O God, with every pure and holy blessing. Let thy saints and all thy creatures bless her. Bless thee, let all thy angels and thy chosen people bless thee forever. Blessed art thou because thou hast made me glad. It has happened to me as I it has not happened to me as I expected, but thou hast treated us according to thy great mercy. Blessed art thou because thou hast had compassion on two only children. Show them mercy, O Lord, and bring their lives to fulfillment in health and happiness and mercy." And then he ordered his servants to fill the grave. And then he gave a wedding feast for them, which lasted for 14 days. I don't think any of us have had a wedding feast that lasted 14 days. Reception is usually not quite 14 days. But it lasted 14 days.
2 days is more than enough.
Yeah. And before the days of the feast were over, Raguel declared an oath to Tobias that he should not leave until the 14 days of the wedding feast were ended. Now, he doesn't realize that Tobias has to go find his other guy and get the money back. So he said, "You can't leave until the 14 days the wedding feast were ended, that then he should take half of Raguel's property, return in safety to his father, and that the rest would be his when my wife and I die." So he's going to give half of his property to Tobias right there to take with him when he goes back to Tobit, and the rest of their property they'll get when he and his wife die. Then Tobias called Raphael and said to him, "Brother Azarias, take a servant and two camels with you and go to Gabbabel and Ragaz and Media and get the money for me." It's going to take two camels to carry all this money. So it's quite a bit. "And bring him to get the money for me, and then bring our relative who's got the money to the wedding feast. For Raguel has sworn that I should not leave, but my father is counting the days, and if I delay long, he will be greatly distressed." So Raphael made the journey and stayed overnight with Gabriel. He gave him the receipt, and Gabriel brought out the money, bags with their seals intact, and gave them to him. In the morning, they both got up early and came to the wedding feast, and Gabriel blessed Tobias and his wife. So now it's time to go back to Tobit. And his father's getting a little antsy because he's not back yet. He doesn't know what happened to him. He says, now his father, Tobit, was counting each day. And when the days for the journey had expired and they did not arrive, he said, is it possible that he has been detained? Or is it possible that Gabael has died and there is no one to give him the money? And he was worried about all kinds of things. He was greatly distressed. His wife said, the lad has perished. His long delay proves it. Then she began to mourn for him and said, am I not distressed, my child, that I let you go, you who are the light of my eyes? But Tobit said to her, be still and stop worrying. He is well. And she answered him, be still and stop deceiving me. My child has perished. And she went out every day to the road by which they had left. And she ate nothing in the daytime. And throughout the night, she never stopped mourning for her son Tobias until the 14 days of the wedding feast had expired, which Raguel had sworn that he should spend there. At that time, Tobias said to Raguel, send me back, for my father and mother have given up hope of ever seeing me again. But his father-in-law said to him, stay with me, and I will send messengers to your father, and they will inform him how things are with you. And Tobias said, no, send me back to my father. So he arose and gave him his wife, Sarah, and half of his property and slaves, cattle and money. And when he had blessed them, he sent them away, saying, the God of heaven will prosper you, my children, before I die. He said also to his daughter, honor your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. They are now your parents. Let me hear a good report of you. And he kissed her, and then said to Tobias, the Lord of heaven bring you back safely, dear brother, and grant me to see your children by my daughter Sarah, that I may rejoice before the Lord. See, I am entrusting my daughter to you. Do nothing to grieve her. So they go on their way. They get back to Nineveh. And he blessed, so they blessed Raguel, his wife Edna, and took off. They went on their way and they came near to Nineveh. Then Raphael said to Tobias, are you not aware, brother, of how you left your father? Let us run ahead of your wife and prepare the house and take the gall of the fish with you. So they went their way. So they're going to leave this caravan with the camels and all and run ahead so that they can cure Tobias's blindness so that when Sarah arrives, he can see her and see how beautiful she is and see that he married the right person for the right tribe. So he says, let us run ahead of your wife and prepare the house and take the gall of the fish with you. So they went their way, and the dog went along behind them. Second time they mentioned this dog. The dog never does anything, so follow them around. Now Anna said, looking intently down the road for her son. So now Anna sat, looking intently, and she caught sight of him coming and said to his father, behold, your son is coming, and so is the man who went with him. And Raphael said, I know, Tobias, that your father will open his eyes. You therefore must anoint his eyes with the gall, and when they smart, he will rub them and will cause the white films to fall away, and he will see you. This, again, is another example of providence, God taking care of his people. And so Tobit is the instrument of this healing, kind of like a priest is the instrument of healing for people. And we see something happening here with Tobit that is very much like what happened with St. Paul. If you remember when Paul had his conversion experience, he went blind. And he went into Damascus, and at some point this other disciple came over to him and healed his blindness, And it says that things like scales fell from the eyes of Paul, and he was able to see. And so the same kind of thing is happening here with Tobias and Tobias. So Raphael said, "I know, Tobias, that your father will open his eyes. Go anoint his eyes with the gall, and when they smart, he will rub them and will cause the white films to fall away, and he will see you." Then Anna ran to meet him and embraced her son and said to him, "I have seen you, my child. Now I am ready to die." And they both wept. Tobias started toward the door and stumbled, but his son ran to him and took hold of his father. He sprinkled the gall upon his father's eyes, saying, "Be of good cheer, father." And when his eyes began to smart, he rubbed them, and the white films scaled off from the corners of his eyes. Then he saw his son and embraced him, and he wept and said, "Blessed art thou, O God, and blessed is thy name forever, and blessed are all the holy angels. For thou hast afflicted me, and thou hast had mercy upon me. Here I see my son Tobias." And his son went in and, rejoicing, reported to his father the great things that had happened to him in Medea. Then Tobit went out to meet his daughter-in-law at the gate of Nineveh, rejoicing and praising God. And Tobit gave thanks before them that God had been merciful to him. When Tobit came near to Sarah, his daughter-in-law, he blessed her, saying, "Welcome, daughter. Blessed is God who has brought you to us, and blessed or your father and your mother." So there was rejoicing among all the brethren in Nineveh. Ahikar and his nephew Nadab came, and Tobias's marriage was celebrated for 7 days with great festivity. So they had 14 days in Medea, a wedding feast, and now they're going to have 7 days in Nineveh. 21 days they're going to have this wedding feast. That's quite a wedding feast. 21 days in two different places. So then the archangel Raphael finally reveals who he is. And it's kind of important what he says about himself. It says, "Tobit then called his son Tobias and said, 'My son, see to the wages of the man who went with you, and he must also be given more.' He replied, 'Father, it would do me no harm to give him half of what I have brought back, for he has led me back to you safely. He cured my wife, he obtained the money for me, and he also healed you.' The old man said, 'He deserves it.' So he called the angel and said to him, 'Take half of all that you two have brought back.' Then the angel called the two of them privately and said to them, 'Praise God and give thanks to him. Exalt him and give thanks to him in the presence of all the living for what he has done for you. It is good to praise God and to exalt his name, worthily declaring the works of God. Do not be slow to give him thanks. It is good to guard the secret of a king, but gloriously to reveal the works of God. Do good and evil will not overtake you. Prayer is good when accompanied by fasting, almsgiving, and righteousness. A little with righteousness is better than much with wrongdoing. It is better to give alms than to treasure of gold. For almsgiving delivers from death, and it will purge away every sin. Those who perform deeds of charity and of righteousness will have fullness of life, but those who commit sin are the enemies of their own lives. I will not conceal anything from you. I have said it is good to guard the secret of a king, but gloriously to reveal the works of God. And so when you and your daughter-in-law Sarah prayed, I brought a reminder of your prayer before the Holy One. And when you buried the dead, I was likewise present with you. When you did not hesitate to rise and leave your dinner in order to go and lay out the dead, Your good deed was not hidden from me, but I was with you. So now God sent me to heal you and your daughter-in-law Sarah. I am Raphael, one of the seven holy angels who present the prayers of the saints and enter into the presence of the glory of the Holy One. He's identifying himself as a seraphim. There are nine choirs of angels, the seraphim are the highest of the seven, of the nine choirs, and there are only seven seraphim. And they stand before the throne of God all the time. And they act as his special messengers, and they take the prayers of the saints and present them to God. We see some reference to them in the book of Revelation, if you recall. And so he says, I am one of the seven holy angels who present the prayers of the saints and enter the presence of the glory of the Holy One. So he's identifying himself as a seraphim. They were both alarmed and fell upon their faces, for they were afraid. But he said to them, do not be afraid, you will be safe. But praise God forever, for I did not come as a favor on my part, but by the will of our God. Therefore praise him forever. All these days I merely appeared to you and did not eat or drink, but you were seeing a vision. And now give thanks to God, for I am ascending to him who sent me. Write in a book everything that has happened. Then they stood up, but they saw him no more. So they confessed the great and wonderful works of God and acknowledged that the angel of the Lord had appeared to them. So he reminds them that they never saw him eat or drink. And he says, I was only a vision for you. I was an angel that appeared to you, but I was not corporeal. I did not eat and drink. So Tobias then sings a song of praise. Then Tobit wrote a prayer of rejoicing, and it's a fairly long prayer, so we're not going to read the whole thing, but you can read it in the book. But it goes on for a couple of pages. It's a pretty long prayer. And at the end of it, we have Tobias's will and his death. Tobias ended his words of praise. He gets to the end of his prayer. He says, Tobias ended his words of praise. He was 58 years old when he lost his sight, and after 8 years he regained it. He gave alms and he continued to fear the Lord God and to praise him. When he had grown very old, he called his son and grandsons and said to him, my son, take your sons, behold, I have grown old, and I am about to depart this life. Go to Medea, my son, for I fully believe what Jonah the prophet said about Nineveh, that it will be overthrown. So he was already aware of the story of Jonah. And there was a prophecy that Nineveh was going to get overthrown, destroyed. And so he's telling Tobias and Sarah, take your family, go back to Medea where you'll be safe, because if you stay here in Nineveh, you're going to get caught up when it gets destroyed. So leave and go. He said, but in Medea there will be peace for a time. Our brethren will be scattered over the earth from the good land, and Jerusalem will be desolate. So he's kind of explaining to him, you know, what's going to happen to Jerusalem and everything else. The house of God in it will be burned down. It will be in ruins for a time. And that's the Babylonian exile. And of course, it gets rebuilt. The temple gets rebuilt. It was built back up in the time of Christ. But God will again have mercy on them and bring them back into their land, and they will rebuild the house of God. Though it will not be like the former one until the times of the ages are completed. So he's saying they're going to rebuild the temple, but it won't have the glory that the original temple had. And there are other stories about that, about some of the Jewish people that had seen the Temple of Solomon and its glory. And then when Herod rebuilt the temple and they saw it, it says they wept. For it was not anything near the glory of the Temple of Solomon. It was like a poor image, a poor copy, but it was not the same. Excuse me. So Tobit's telling him about all this. He's telling him what these prophecies are. And so he says, because of all this, you got to get out of here. You got to go back to Medea. He says, after this, they will return from the places of their captivity. We will rebuild Jerusalem in splendor. And the house of God will be rebuilt. There will be a glorious building for all generations forever, just as the prophets said. Then all the Gentiles will turn to fear the Lord God in truth, will bury their idols. All the Gentiles will praise the Lord and his people. Excuse me. And will give thanks to God, and the Lord will exalt these people. So now, my son, Nineveh, leave Nineveh. Because what the prophet Jonah said will surely happen. But keep the law. And he goes on and he tells him what to do. You know, bury me properly, keep the law, etc., etc. Give alms. And he says, so now, my children, consider what almsgiving accomplishes and how righteousness delivers. As he said this, he died in his bed. He was 158 years old, and Tobias gave him a magnificent funeral. And when Anna died, he buried her with his father. Then Tobias returned with his wife and his sons to Raguel, his father-in-law. He grew old with honor, and he gave his father-in-law and mother-in-law magnificent funerals. He inherited their property and that of his father Tobit. He died in Medea at the age of 127 years. But before he died, he heard of the destruction of Nineveh, which Nebuchadnezzar and Ahasuerus had captured. Before his death, he rejoiced over Nineveh. So that is the end of the book of Tobit. So what'd you think of Tobit? Interesting story. It's what?
Wouldn't have been able to work 21 days for a wedding feast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, and it was interesting too, because you had 14 days and you had to rest up, and then you had 7 more days. So you didn't have to take 21 days all at the same time.
And that's after traveling.
Yeah.
That's
right. Yeah. After traveling. So we saw a number of different interesting things in this story. We saw an angel, God's providence at work all through, sending his angel down to solve all these problems these people had. And the angel coming among. It was interesting to me that at the end, he says, you never saw me eat or drink, And all you saw really was a vision, because I'm really an angel. And it's interesting that all the time he was there with them, that nobody noticed that he never ate and drank. You think they would have noticed that, because they all sat around eating and stuff. But they never saw it. So that was kind of interesting. And then the idea that that Jesus calls the story about the woman with the seven husbands scripture. That's the only place in the Bible that has that account. And yet people want to say, well, it's not scripture, even though Jesus calls it scripture. So I thought that was kind of funny too. So
where is it that it states that it is scripture?
In Matthew chapter 22, where the Sadducees are talking to Jesus, and so they give him this story about this woman who has seven husbands. Each husband dies, and at the end of her life, if there is a resurrection, at the end of her life, when she goes to the next world, whose husband will she be? Because she had seven. And so Jesus says, you don't understand scripture, and you don't understand anything else. And so he goes off on and explains to him. But he makes a specific reference to the fact that that it's a story in scripture. And so he's calling the book of Tobit scripture, you know, which I thought was kind of interesting. So, well.
So, Jim, why don't the Protestants think it's scripture then? Why don't they have it in their Bibles?
Because none of them ever see the connection between this story and what Jesus says in Matthew. Because if it's not in there,
yeah, that connection, yeah.
If it's not in their Bible, they never read the story. They never see it. So, But if they read it, they might see the connection, you know.
Scott, if they Hahn, read it, yeah.
In Scott Hahn's study Bible, he makes a particular note that it's a reference to that story in Tobit. So, you know, when you try to take things out of the Bible and justify it, you always find some problem with that removal, because it shouldn't have been removed.
Yeah, right.
So, which is kind of interesting.
You think it had something to do with marriage?
Yeah.
And the sacredness of marriage, possibly.
It could be, because, you know, the story is very clear about the whole idea of the sacredness of marriage and you know, fidelity and all those kind of things. And it shows not only between Tobias and Sarah,
right,
but also the relationships between Tobit and his wife Anna. You know, they're very close. They love each other very much, and they communicate a lot . And it's just a, you know, good relationship.
Yeah, right, right.
So.
Something to ponder.
Yep, something to ponder. Something to think about for Christmas. Well, I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas. Very Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. We're not going to meet for the next 2 weeks,
Jim.
You know, for the Christmas holidays. So the Monday after Christmas and the Monday after New Year's, we'll take a break and then pick up right after that. Because a lot of people are traveling and have visitors and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a very busy time.
Okay.
So, and the kids are back
that
from the...
That sounds great.
Kids are back from the park.
January, would that be the third then?
Yeah.
The first Monday of January or the second?
It'll be... let's see what my calendar looks like. Google calendar.
Would it be the 10th?
Okay,
it would be the 10th, I think.
Okay, the 3rd would be the one we've missed. So be the one. It'd be the 10th. Our next class will be January 10th.
Got it.
Okay. What are we gonna do that?
Well, we're gonna pick. We're gonna pick another one of the one of the deuterocanonical books. I'll look through them and and see, and I'll send a message out, and because I want to look at one of the ones that they gave, where they gave us some reason for complaint, and so we'll look at whether the reasons are valid or not, and then we'll go with that. Okay.
Okay, Greg.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Everybody.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hope you get well before the New Year, Jim.
You
and
too.
And Mary. Merry Beth, too.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we'll keep you in our prayers, Jim.
Thank you. Yes, you guys, too. Thank you very much.
God bless.